We are experiencing an epidemic in our society. What is it? Joylessness. My name is Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you so much for taking this journey with us as we discover how to live a life of true joy.
Welcome to Day 3 of Joy. Our title today is The Christian's Connection to Joy. William Barclay once said, "There is no virtue in the Christian life which is not made radiant with joy. There is no circumstance and no occasion which is not illuminated with joy. A joyless life is not a Christian life, for joy is one constant recipe for Christian living." Our text today comes to us from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and it reads, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Him that we have attained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Paul has several reasons to rejoice in Jesus. Paul begins Romans 5 by talking about the results of our salvation. A person is declared righteous by God through faith in Him. When we are right with God, we have peace with Him that lasts forever. Our relationship with Jesus gives us access to a life filled with God's grace. These benefits of salvation cause us to rejoice because we have a hope that we will spend eternity with God. When you think about it in Paul's terms, rejoicing should be the normal response of every believer. Timothy Keller brings an honest and profound perspective to this discussion. "These are the wonderful benefits, but life is complex and involves pain as much as pleasure. When life is up, we can savor and enjoy these benefits. But when things are down, what difference does peace and access and future glory make?" Paul says, "Every difference. We rejoice in the hope of glory, but not only this," he continues, "we also rejoice in our sufferings." In effect, he says, not only do we have these joys, but these joys remain joys in our sorrow and even help us to find joy in our sorrow. Paul does not say that we rejoice for our sufferings. Christians can rejoice in suffering. That means there's no joy in the actual troubles themselves. God hates the pain and troubles of this life, and so should we. Rather, a Christian knows that suffering will have beneficial results. A Christian is not a stoic who faces suffering by just gritting their teeth. Christians look through the suffering to their certainties. They rest in the knowledge that troubles will only increase their enjoyment and appreciation of those certainties. Paul gives three reasons of suffering that act like a chain reaction connecting the believer to joy. In verse 3, we learn that suffering leads to endurance. The word endurance means single-mindedness. Suffering can help us focus on what really matters in life. This endurance leads to character. Character can be defined as a quality of confidence that comes from a particular experience. When you are tested, your character will grow. Notice the progression in steps. Suffering leads you to focus more on God, which will lead to greater confidence in Him after you have been tested. This all leads to growth in your hope. It instills a stronger assurance in the access you have to God and the future you have in your relationship with Him. Timothy Keller sums it all up by saying, "Suffering drives us to the one place where we find real hope, real confidence, and certainty. It's God." Paul Thigpen shares a story that can help you apply these truths. "I remember coming home one afternoon to discover that the kitchen I had worked so hard to clean only a few hours before was now a terrible wreck. My young daughter had obviously been busy cooking, and the ingredients were scattered along with dirty bowls and utensils across the counters and the floor. I was not happy with the situation. Then, as I looked a little more closely at the mess, I spied a tiny note on the table, clumsily written and smeared with chocolatey fingerprints. The message was short, but it said, 'I'm making something for you, Dad.' And it was signed, 'Your Angel.' In the midst of that disarray, and despite my irritation, joy suddenly sprang up in my heart, sweet and pure. My attention had been redirected from the problem to the little girl that I loved. As I encountered her in that brief note, I delighted in her. With her simple goodness and focus, I could only take pleasure in seeing her hand at work in a situation that seemed otherwise disastrous. The same is true of my joy in the Lord. Many times life looks rather messy. I can't find much to be happy about in my circumstances. Nevertheless, if I look hard enough, I can usually see the Lord behind it all, or at least working through it all, making something for me. Let's think about this today. When you think about your relationship with Jesus, what aspects of knowing Him lead you to rejoice? In what ways is God growing your endurance, character, and hope so that you can experience greater joy in Him? In times of suffering, how can you focus on what God is doing so that your response is rejoicing? Please join me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that in the messiness of our lives, you are making something so beautiful. Help us to be patient and full of joy in the midst of the difficult circumstances. In the suffering, you lead us to focus more on you. And so we thank you for the greater confidence that you've given to us. We rejoice in you today. We love you, Father, so much. Amen.